Hey everybody, welcome to Real Life Sci-Fi with Wade and Willie. I'm Wade.
I'm Willie.
This is a podcast about the paranormal and contemporary mythology. Join us on patreon.com/reallifesci-fi for access to 2 bonus episodes a week, video feeds, and more. And visit reallifesci-fi.show for all of our various other defunct and maybe current projects.
I'm wondering what's happening.
We're lazy. And once you don't get an audience, it's like, why keep trying? Rest in peace. First time. I don't even remember my reaction channel now. I think we're dead. I don't know. And every fucking, I'm sorry, I always do this, but every comment, I get them in my email for all of our reaction videos. And every single one is just like a blow to my ego. And I'm like, can I just delete the entire fucking channel? Do I need to like get these almost daily emails about how bad I am at doing this?
Well, this is a lame question. Like, what if you change the React name?
then you don't get the engagement of people looking for reactions.
I know.
Also, it's like way too soon to give up. Like YouTube, you're supposed to do it for like a year. We did it for like a month. So whatever. I mean, who knows? But it's there. It's there. You can go watch it if you want. If you want to see a reaction of like my best friend's wedding or whatever. Let's welcome aboard the SSRLSF. It's the producer of ShrubHomeVideo.com. I don't know what is ShrubHomeVideo. I always want to say .tv, but it's not. It's .com. But really, the name is just ShrubHomeVideo, and his name is Kevin Day. What up, Kevin?
Hey guys, we registered Shrob.tv and that's what we were going with to start with. But Shrob had all these like logos and stuff made that said Shrob Home Video that were like old VHS logos that we wanted to reuse. So we switched at the very last
minute.
All
his VHS, his fake VHS covers that he does.
Yes.
You buy his shirts at TeePublic. Is that still?
Yes. Yep. He still got those at TeePublic. Yeah.
I got a few of them. They're good. They're all right. They're good. I mean, his designs. They're great. I'm just the quality of the t-shirts. I feel like they used to be good. I haven't bought one in a while. I don't know.
I've had a few. They're pretty good. I like them.
I'm sure there's like a 15% off sale every weekend or something. So go get your Shrob Home Video t-shirts on TeePublic. Kevin.
Yes.
This is your second time on the show. I don't remember if you're into this stuff at all. You're a programmer. You're a math. You're kind of like a math mind, right? You're more.
Yeah.
Would you say you're left brained?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm definitely more of a weight on the scale.
Oh, you are.
Yeah. Well, so I'm more of a skeptic. Well, you know, my wife is the exact opposite.
But how into like this stuff are you in general? Like, have you been following all the UAP stuff, all the drones over New Jersey and stuff? Or are you just kind of like, whatever?
I'm super into it. Like, I want it to be real. It's just nothing has convinced me yet. But I'm becoming more open to the idea that some of this might be legitimate. But nothing has made me go, okay, I completely believe this now.
What would it take, do you think?
Footage that's not grainy, that multiple people have shot from multiple angles that don't know each other, I think would probably be the biggest one.
But what would the footage be of? Like, what it would have to be like clear, like this is not a human made thing. Like, what if it, you know?
It would have to not be something that I could look at and go, okay, I'm a drone pilot. That's moving exactly like a drone does, you know, that would probably be number one. Two, it would have to be not blurry, you know, like you would be able to clearly see that it is some kind of flying something that we don't have. But even then, I don't know what I would really buy. You know, is this just some kind of like military aircraft that we haven't been told about yet?
Well, yeah.
You
know? And that's, I mean, that's the whole thing. Like, as a skeptic, it's like, God damn, like, I really want aliens to come here and like save us or just destroy us. I don't care. Either way, just like one end or the other. If they show up and they're just like, stop playing football, or I don't know what their demands would be as aliens. But if they show up and they just bring more problems, like, that's going to bum me out. So I just want them to kill us or save us.
Like, I don't know if you're into like sci-fi, but like the Asgard from Stargate. that's the aliens that I want to come visit us. Like the
what
the
are friendly, they like? I don't know it.
They become our closest allies in that series, and you know, protect the Earth from bad aliens and give us technology.
How human do they look?
So they're the stereotypical gray aliens with the big eyes. You know,
okay.
And the mythology is that like they're all named after like these Norse gods, and like if you go back far enough into our history, they were those Norse gods using holograms to look like humans and stuff like that.
Changes the whole
lore.
Yeah, right. Because Norse is a different type of alien, according to alien people.
The Norse gods people believe were real.
I thought Norse were like Thor looking like blonde aliens.
It still tracks.
Okay, it tracks. Okay, good. Well, let's get into the WoW scale. The WoW scale stands for Waiter Willie. It's a 5-question quiz. At the end of the quiz, I will give you a score anywhere between 0 and 5. If you're more of a 0, you're more of a Wade. If you're more of a 5, you're more of a Willie. Are you ready to be weighed on the WoW scale? All right, here we go. First question. 3-parter, aliens. Do you believe in aliens? If so, have they visited Earth? If so, have they visited Earth in 300 years?
Yes, I believe aliens probably exist. I think it would be sort of egotistical for us to be like, you know, we're the only things in this wide universe to possibly be alive. So, sure, I completely believe that aliens of some kind exist. Have they visited the Earth? Nothing has convinced me that they have. Nothing has convinced me that they haven't, but the absence of anything that I consider proof, I think I'm going to have to say no to the other two.
All right, ghosts.
Again, nothing has convinced me. Like, I would love to believe that ghosts are real. Like, I would love to believe that our deceased relatives are watching us and can interact with us.
Oh, you would?
Like,
don't you think you would hate to masturbate, though?
Well,
right?
Okay, yes. I mean, it depends on how...
Do you think they observe privacy rules, or they're just
I remember doing that when I was a human.
Now I shoot goo out of everything.
I would like to believe that the logistics of how that works somehow limits their ability to observe and interact with us, you know, or maybe it's just some system where like they're all seeing and all knowing and like it just doesn't
and it doesn't
faze
matter
them.
Right. Because it's a very human thing.
Yes.
And they're like, yeah, fuck it. Jerk off. I don't care.
Yeah.
Bigfoot.
Again, like I would love to believe that, but I just feel like if there was anything that big moving around, we would have like seen a dead one wash up somewhere, or a bone that we couldn't explain, or something like that. That, you know,
well, how big do you think it is?
I'm thinking like person size, you know, like
7 feet.
At least. And I think something that big, even though our forests are huge, like why hasn't anyone caught one? Why hasn't anyone, a hunter shot one and bagged it and brought it in, kind of thing, you know? I mean, if they exist, they're so close to extinction that they might as well be extinct then.
These are the new ones. Illuminati.
What? I mean, I believe that there is a thing called the Illuminati, but I don't believe that they are this all-powerful organization. I think it's just a kooky club that loves the attention and lets rumors get away from themselves.
Okay. All right.
I don't know how you want to rate that one.
No, I was gonna ask, like, do you think that there is like kind of a deep state, sort of like, and not just for America, but do you think there's a cabal of rich, probably white men running things behind the scenes? Not the billionaires that we see and want to destroy.
I mean, I think there are people who like to believe that they are in that position. But I think their actual power is probably very limited. I'm sure a bunch of super rich people get together and make decisions and things like that. But their ability to enact those is not as strong as I think the rumors get out.
All right. Yeah. 5th question on the whale scale. Multiverse.
I sound like a broken record, but like I would love to believe that's possible. Like I would love to have some device that would let us hop between dimensions and...
Well, we don't need to hop between them. Do you believe they exist?
I don't know. Part of me believes that there's this theory that, like, you know, because space is, as far as we know, infinite and doesn't wrap around, if you go far enough, you'll eventually find another identical to Earth, except my name is Bob, not Kevin, but every other instance, you know, everything else is the same and stuff like that. Like, if there is just an infinite number of combinations of planets and worlds and things like that, we're eventually going to find one that, you know, is that a multiverse though, or is that just infinite?
No, it would have to be on like a different dimensional plane. It would have to be
here's the parallel question.
Unobservable.
in a fractal, is the smallest part a different dimension from the biggest part?
See, I feel like no, but I'm coming to that from like a mathematical perspective, not like a metaphysical perspective there. You know,
it's
like
a repeating pattern, but not a repeating space.
I think that's basically the same, you know, just the fact that it is a repeating pattern just means that the more you zoom in, the more details you see, but that doesn't make it a new place.
You're a zero, but I do want to ask, what do you think the afterlife is? Do you think that we die and go away forever, or what's your thoughts?
I don't know. You know, there's a theory that a few people have kind of put up around that, like, I think actually you and me talked about this when I was in L.A., Wade.
surprised me.
Where, you know, when you die, you become somebody else in history. Like, all of us are all the same person, all the same soul, all the same consciousness, you know? I have no reason to believe that's true, but I want that to be true.
Do you really? So you would want to live in like the 1600s with all the dirt and no showers? Well,
I think it's one of the reasons why things sort of make sense is that, like, if all three of us are really the same person, just a different, like, it could be a billion lifetimes later, I become you, Wade, or something like that. I'd love to believe that's true.
I would go the other way. I think you're definitely further, because you know about, like, coding and shit. I don't know anything.
Yeah, but, like, you know, I think what's that philosopher kind of recent that we talked about that had this theory where basically he's like, you know, if you could dream a different dream every night, you know, and then you'd eventually choose not to control it. Like, I could probably scroll back.
Oh, God. I've got his book right here. Should I check it?
Sure. I'll keep talking, explaining this. But every night you could have a different dream and you could, like, live out every fantasy you wanted, every possible pleasure you could possibly ever want. And you keep doing that night after night after night. And eventually you would decide, what if we try this again where I have a little bit less control and something happens that I'm not predicting and I'm not in full control? And then you give up more and more control because you want to experience new things and you want it to feel alive, because if it's just all exactly what you want, it's boring.
Right. And then you eventually,
Alan Watts, yes, thank you. Eventually you give up so much control that basically you have no control over what's going on. You just set the thing in motion when you're born. And from that moment on, you're completely out of control. And then he's kind of ends that with, well, what if that's where you are right now? And, like, one day we're going to wake up and be like, great, let's do that again. That's the afterlife I want. Like, if you let me design it, like the good place or something, you know, that's what I would choose. But I don't think I believe that's real. It's a very long-winded way of saying no.
It's too idealistic, right? It's like, this can't be what it is. It's like,
it can't be, cool. But why is that any more hard to believe than any other theory, though?
I was going to make this point. We just recorded a show where we were talking about video games, and the learning curve of video games is, like, intense now. Like, if you don't get the game on day one and spend 12 hours, like, playing it, then you're already behind, right? And when I play against the computer, let's say on Madden or something, I know the play that works every time. And it's, like, less and less gratifying every time I do that play, because I'm like, well, fucking, okay, well, this is going to work, so I'll just do that and get my receiver another 100 yards or whatever. And I think that kind of lends to what you're saying, which is, like, yeah, it's, like, boring now. It's, like, too boring. I need to switch it up. Like, that play needs to be eliminated from my choice so that I have to find new ways to, like, do it.
Yeah, the side tangent that I want to just bring up is, like, in real life, somebody gets burned on every play. And finding that person getting burned is what most football games are. The computer never gets burned. It's like, if you run the same play, it's just like the algorithm of tackling you, as opposed to, like, well, you got me. I couldn't cover you properly.
I guess the reason I ask about the death thing, and we'll get to the topic here shortly, but I just didn't know if you pontificated on that shit at all, you know, being a left-brained math man.
I've wondered quite a bit, you know, what happens next. And I've read all these different philosophers, you know, not just Alan Watts, but there was another one where basically, like, we're all the same person. And then that's basically because we're all, like, a baby God. And this is how gods get developed, you know, and things like that.
Yeah, I wrote a whole fucking movie based on that.
Okay.
Yeah, that story of the egg is, like, the perfect example of, like,
the egg thing, but that's never resonated with me. I still don't understand the egg We talk about the egg a lot, and I still don't get it.
I think it's just a way of explaining that, like, you know, time does not have to be linear when you're this super powerful being. And part of you learning to be this omnipotent god-like thing is experiencing trillions of lifetimes to develop your brain.
It's also a really good way to just be apathetic about everything that you can't control, which I think is a healthy mindset, right? Like, I don't know. I can't control what Palestine is doing. So I'm just going to make my little stuffed animals over here, or whatever your hobby is. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, we look to explain, you know, I think all of what we've talked about, all those questions you just asked, are all trying to explain things we can't explain. And I don't think this is really that much different. We all looked for meaning for things that make us uncomfortable.
I feel like that's kind of also the basis of, like, conspiracy theories, like people looking for meaning in a lot of meaningless shit, right? Sometimes it's just a power grab or whatever.
I think it's psychologically really hard for me even to just go, you know what, that was just random chance. Like there was no higher meaning to this. It was literally just a coincidence that this happened. Your brain is so good at finding patterns and things that you're not satisfied until you've solved the pattern and solved the mystery.
Do you have a mystery in your life that you've yet to solve?
A few. I think I brought this up last time I was on, but, like, you know, when I was a teenager, I saw moving lights in the sky that I still to this day can't explain, you know?
Oh, yeah.
You know, there was one time where I was probably 20 and me and my girlfriend were taking, like, a cross-country trip in a U-Haul, and we stopped because there was this burned out car flipped over in the middle of the interstate. And I pulled over and looked to see if there was anybody inside. There was nobody there. We called the police, waited for the police to come. And then the next day I talked to her about it, going, wow, wasn't that crazy? And she has no memory of it whatsoever.
Whoa. The next day?
Yes. The next day she swears it didn't happen.
Wow.
And
at that point, do you start questioning your own, you could have psychosis or something, right?
Well, I thought one of us must have been dreaming at the point, and it really scared me that I was having a dream while I was driving because she was sat next to me.
Did you find proof of the car being flipped over in any?
No, this was been like 96, so this wasn't like I could go like Google it or anything. And
yeah, plus in the middle of nowhere. Who's going to cover that story as a boring story?
But it was just like great. Like it was on I-80 in the middle, like busy part of I-80. Literally, there was just a burned out, flipped over car with no roadblock around it, no police car, no tape, nothing. Just sitting in the middle of the road.
I watched somebody fly off the road on I-80. I-80 is crazy. It's like everyone's tired on that road.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. Well, I said you're a zero. You're a Wade. Congratulations. Willie, hit us with that topic.
Tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi, time slips. We're going to get into finding meaning that keeps us comfortable. There's no definitive scientific proof of time travel. Several anecdotal stories exist claiming time slips, where individuals seemingly experience a brief moment in a different time period, often characterized by seeing outdated clothing, architecture, or vehicles in a familiar location. Let's go over some stories of time slips and try to figure it out tonight. Maybe even Kevin had a time slip in this little car story he just told.
Maybe.
Tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi.
What year was the car? Do you know? It was burned out.
It looked like an old hot rod, so it wasn't recent.
Oh, so it could have been like a 50s thing.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Like a Mustang or something. Yeah.
So maybe it was a time slip. Well, so this is different than a time, than losing time, right? Because we talk about those a lot with aliens and shit, where like hours will have passed and people think it's like 20 minutes. And it's totally different than
time.
That.
Yeah, this is a lot of people that have stories of just kind of walking. Maybe there's a sudden change in environment. Here's some key points about most time slip stories. They describe walking and then all of a sudden, maybe they feel disoriented for a second, but then all of a sudden the cars are different. The buildings are different. The time of year is different. And then they drop back into their reality, but they have stories that add up where it's like, we'll get into the most famous one that happened was this Moberly Jourdain incident. In 1911, these two people published a book under these other names, Elizabeth Morrison and Francis Lamont. The book describes a visit they made where basically they were walking in France and then all of a sudden they time slipped and they were in the Palace of Versailles and they talked to Marie Antoinette.
All right. Hang on. So when you time slip, you also talk to the most famous person of that time.
Well, it's really more about the location of where they were at. You know what I mean?
I know it is. But come on, they talked to Marie Antoinette. What'd she have to say?
I didn't read the book, but
it's a whole book about it.
Yeah. I think the more fascinating thing about this is nobody believed this story, right? Nobody thought it was credible or anything. It's like, oh, you have an adventure book. Somebody who did think it was credible was Carl Jung, because he had a story of a time slip. And so that one, I know that this was, that was a big one. We kind of brushed over it, but you know, yeah, for sure. Yeah. Well, we talked to fucking Marie Antoinette weeks before she was beheaded, you know.
Wait, what do you mean we brushed over it? Do you mean right now?
Yeah. And so to me, having like a really credible, intelligent person having a time slip is the one you want to talk about, not somebody who made a book, you know?
Sure.
His story is he was visiting this Roman structure built around 430 AD. He was in 1913. The second time occurred in 1933. And both times he felt like he'd been there before. Couldn't figure out why. Him and his friend, both of them, go into this room and they see these biblical mosaics. They're like, holy shit, these are amazing. So his friend was planning a trip to Italy and he was like, hey, go buy me the postcards that we couldn't find, you know? Mm-hmm. And then he said that there were no biblical panels, that these mosaics didn't exist, right? So ultimately, him and his friend saw these mosaics. They go to try to buy something from the gift shop. Doesn't exist. These things did exist in like early 400s, 500s, whatever. And they got destroyed. So the only way he could have seen them is if, you know, there was some sort of time slip. And his friend also confirmed later on with his friend that, yes, they saw the same mosaics. They both, that person described them to him. So they did see together. They both saw these mosaics, but they couldn't have existed either time he went to visit this building.
What was his philosophy on that? I mean, like, did he offer any kind of, he's a thinker, right? Like, what was he thinking?
This is what it said in writing about this experience many years later. Jung still marveled about it and said that the memory of those four mosaics continued to burn brightly in his mind. So, and anything I've read, he doesn't really pontificate on what happened, but reading that time slip story, he was into it.
This is a crazy topic because I don't know, man. It's definitely never happened to me. Have you guys had a time slip outside of when you saw the hot rod on the...
Yeah, no, nothing like that at all.
Like, can you imagine walking around and then it's just like the Wild West or something? That would suck.
And well, you know, some people think that these stories are glitches in the Matrix. That's why we're doing this.
Sure.
My take on it is this. I don't think our existence is physical. I think it's like an electrical existence. We have these sensory casings that keep that create how we experience this existence. I think that on the Earth, there is an energy of a spinning planet might be geometrically, like you take a pyramid and flip it upside down, you have a Merkaba when you put them together. And so there's these points on the Earth that have extra energy. And so maybe that, in the same way, Bermuda Triangle, maybe some of these areas have so much energy in them, so like sometimes they'll get an energy spike, and like if you experience a time slip, it's probably in one of these areas that has extra energy, and you electrically attune to a different radio station and you have experiences there, and then you flip back. So it's not like you had to go anywhere physically. It's like you just tuned into a different existence, you know? And so that's why it's so fast. It's so quick. The best versions are ones where, oh shit, this was here before. And how would you have known about that? Go on. What was your question?
Well, I was just going to ask, I mean, nobody knows, but like, are they embodying someone who was there at the same time? Or do they just like, let's say you're just like walking around in the 1600s or whatever the time period is. And then like Carl Jung and his buddy kind of like bloop into existence. Or do you think you just see it through? I mean, kind of goes with Kevin's thing of like the same person, different lives. Maybe you just become a different person for like that set amount of time and then go back.
I could buy either version because like in some of these stories, they do interact with people in the other time. it's not like a few seconds. It's like minutes, you know, but never, no one's like ever experienced like hours.
Wouldn't the language barrier be crazy?
And the ones where people interacted with people, it was the same language.
I know, but like they say that like old timey English is like almost Gaelic. So I don't know. It's interesting. So you're reading all of this stuff. You're saying it's a glitch in the matrix. I know that's just a shorthand for a way to explain it. But do you think it is? Does this mean it's a simulation in your mind? Or do you think, what do you think?
I still don't buy simulation fully. I like the more blanket term of a temporal distortion. So it's like, because I don't know, I've been, you know, obviously always looking into the latest and greatest of time travel. And it's just like, you know, did you peek your head through a wormhole? Because I also believe in out-of-body experiences. Like, so if you have an out-of-body experience and it takes you to a different time, then it necessarily doesn't have to be geography. Wait. Because if the Earth wouldn't be in the same spot, you know? So it's
I've not heard of out-of-body experiences taking you to a different time. Is that a thing?
I know that people that were studying some people who do this and some people with the Monroe Institute, whatever, they didn't know they had the ability to have an out-of-body experience at a different time. So only a few people have studied it, but you can attach a date to a place and then go visit that place. People just don't naturally do it.
In like an astral projection way?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay. But not in like a near-death experience way. Has there ever been a near-death experience where people are floating outside of their body and then it's a different time?
Ooh, I've never heard of one, no.
Kevin, what do you think about all this?
Again, I would love to believe this, but there's just so many things that I can't figure out an explanation that is satisfying to me of like, so if this is that you were like physically being transported back into time, how have we not had someone just randomly pop into existence in the middle of a wall or like with their ankles embedded in this pavement or something? You know, they're always at exactly the correct height.
Yeah. You know? Unless you go with my theory and you just pop into some other person who's.
Yeah. You electrically join their consciousness and their brain. Zip. So like all of a sudden, if you thought it was you, but you're like experienced somebody else's.
That, though, is contradicted by like the story that you just told of the two people that were looking at those biblical frescoes and stuff like that on the walls of like they recognize each other there. They both were there. And then I sent you a link earlier today about a different story where two people from their time went back in time and both were like in the past interacting with each other, confused, and then popped back into the present and still had the same bodies and everything.
Yeah.
So that doesn't work if you're popping into other people's brains then.
Yeah. In that version, it's like a spatial thing where it's like, did this whole circle so here's the thing. In the realm of and I'm sorry to cut you off. I just want to throw in this little side tangent of like, for all the big science minds that have tried to talk about wormholes and time travel, they're like, well, even a wormhole, let's say I had a wormhole connected to you, Wade, and you go out into space, but I can still see you. Mm-hmm. Let's say you go out so far, so fast that like, you know, so time. We're aging at the same, but time is very fast for you because you're moving fast towards the speed of light or something. If I were to just reach over and touch you or jump in through the wormhole into your realm, the spatial disturbance would basically create a feedback loop of time that would destroy the wormhole. So like, you know, if these two people had a circle of a sphere that like went through a different time, the place of the Earth, the space that was displaced on both ends of time, all these things make it very easy to say, oh, this is impossible.
So do you think that it's a wormhole? Like, let's say this is true and Carl went back to wherever. And do you think he walked through an invisible wormhole?
I think that it is more of a electrical displacement of like, it's weird when with his story too, there's two of them. They both went. They both saw this thing.
Right.
In my version, there's just a bulb of energy that flicked into a different time and flicked back. And they had the experience, but it was a non-physical experience, but so is our existence.
Well, how's it non-physical, though? Because you're walking on the streets, aren't you? I mean, like, I just mean, like, define non-physical for me.
Well, just like, you know, smallest. The space between an atom and the atom next to it.
Yeah.
there's more space there than in our space that we, you know, it's comparable to galaxies being far away. I think that.
Well, but why non-physical? What does that mean?
We define it as a physical existence, and we define that like I can't put my hand
through this wall,
yeah. But it actually is all atoms. Everything is electrical.
Well, so then how do you explain, like, so it's a glitch. I mean, that goes back to kind of simulation, right? I mean, like, I'm not trying to say like what is the purpose of it. I'm just trying to understand if there's any kind of like, for lack of a better word, explanation. And I'm not trying to get you to explain it.
What are some other possibilities? Because like, so there are a lot of stories in Liverpool. A lot of time slip stories in this one area.
Oh, the Beatles, the home of the Beatles.
I heard my songs that we didn't create yet. So you take that movie where nobody heard of the Beatles.
Yeah.
The Beatles went forward and heard themselves.
Yeah. Maybe it is all the Beatles. Maybe all of our answers lie in the Beatles.
I've got a great song to show you guys that you made.
This one's called Yesterday. I'm going to sing it into your ear, and you're going to think that you dreamed it, Paul.
Yeah. This is why I like this idea of there are spots that are more energetically available for a time slip to happen, because it's not a common thing. It's like most people haven't heard a time slip story.
Are you going with like ley lines and shit? Folding that into it?
I think it's the I like this energy of the planet Merkaba that has like very focused points that are like.
I'm sorry, Merkaba?
Did you
say that before and I missed it?
Yeah, Merkaba? Yeah. I think you're going pee. It's like if you got a spinning ball.
Oh, the pyramids. I heard that.
Yeah. So like I was looking at the globe going like, is there something? And listen, when you look at a globe, it's not that accurate because it's not just a perfect sphere. But if you try to, I was trying to look at different points along the same lines to be like, is there other, you know, Paris is close to the same line as like New York and like Bermuda Triangles. I was trying to see, because there were a lot of major cities like close to the same parallel. I believe that ancient civilizations were created in areas that had high energy, and it wasn't just water. It wasn't just resources. It was like, you know, when you look at sacred sites, when we get into this ley line stuff, it's like, well, maybe it's not ley lines per se, but like just different energies coming out of the earth, and they were somehow attuned to having a civilization start there because the water's better, the energy's better.
Well, Kevin, do you know about ley lines? I mean, I assume you know just like the very basis of it, right?
I understand the theory behind it, but not much beyond that.
Okay, so you've got this. I don't know why I'm pigeonholing you as like a left brain math guy this episode, but I am for some reason.
That's okay.
Does that make sense to you? Because it does seem like a very mathematical thing where it's just like, okay, here's the earth. Here are the ley lines. You know, 1 + 1 = 2. This is where, you know, there's energy, and that's why people settled there. Does that make any sense to you?
Yes, but me being super practical here, I look at that as that's something that's not measurable. Let's look at what is measurable. And like, if you put me on the spot and said, come up with a better theory, I think there's a sweet spot of climate that is desirable to live in, where it doesn't get too cold, it doesn't get too hot, crops grow well, things like that, that are going to make these bands of latitudes where cities are going to form, because that's going to be the easiest for large populations to settle in.
Love that. Easy answer. Yes, 100%. For sure.
That's not disproving ley lines, though.
No, yeah. I'm just saying, like, yeah, that's why they're all within this, like, 30 degrees of...
Well, where are the ley lines? I mean, are there ley lines, like, up north where it's, like, inhabitable?
The ley lines basically just... If you take a magnet and you throw a bunch of...
iron.
...shavings at it, you'll follow the lines of magnetism, but for some reason they clump together on certain lines. So it's really just like magnetism lines of the earth.
Are the ley lines mapped?
I haven't really seen any. A lot of people say, like,
so probably not, right? Because that would be mostly the first thing you would read about ley lines, right? Yeah. Like, here's where the ley lines are. So they must not have.
I mean, there are, like, I think it's USGS. I forget which agency it is, but they publish a daily map of magnetic flux lines, things like that. Just like the Earth's core is iron, and it's spinning, which creates a magnetic flux that is weirdly shaped because it's not a perfect sphere, and it's clumpy and thick, and, you know, the core is not perfectly homogeneous. So I completely believe that there are places where magnetic fields, you know, the flux is stronger in some places, it's weirdly shaped, it's angled differently, things like that. And there's a map that you can view every day that's updated showing where that is. And but they're slowly moving all the time, though. It's not like, you know, you're going to build a city on one of those. So if that's what it is, I don't know how to correlate that with things going back that far in time.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And like, you know, I'm always evolving my shit, too. And it's just like, well, if you look at the ancient structures that look like Angkor Wat, or places that look like they're somehow harnessing pyramids, they're somehow harnessing some of this energy.
Like, which one is Angkor Wat?
It's
I'll look it up.
Yeah.
I would love for you to describe it, though.
It basically looks like a part of a computer board. There are all these points that when you, I mean, my,
like
my
from
take
the sky,
is,
you mean?
Yeah. Like if you look at it from the sky, it looks like this. There are certain things that we design computer boards the same way, where it's just like you have these points. If there was energy, let's say magnetic field, or maybe something in the atmosphere, this thing somehow like captures it and harnesses it for to.
I'm sorry. So I disrupted your stream of thought.
Yeah. Just like, it's easy for me to say, to just go away from ley lines and go like, well, you know, these structures that they built can harness this energy despite the lines underneath them. It's just like,
let's digress from ley lines because we're talking about time slips. So ley lines is, I guess, maybe one explanation. Are there others?
I mean, I don't want to. I mean, my initial description was not ley lines. It was the.
I forced that onto you. Yeah, I know.
It was the just the energy of the Earth just having different spikes of.
So we could just like at any time. Does this have anything like Carl Jung? He was in Italy. He was vacationing, I guess. So it's not like a thing that he walked. He hadn't walked this route every day like that. I'm trying to think of, like, if I just like walk to the grocery store, could this happen to me at some point? Something that I've done like 1,000 times, could it just happen to me at some point, or would I have to be in a more like consequential area?
I know. See, that's why in my head I'm trying to wrap some sort of location thing happening, because right, it doesn't right, happen to right. everyone. And no, most people haven't heard of this stuff. And so it feels like it should be more common if it were just completely random. But also in the same vein, for most people experiencing this, they may not even know it happened because there's nobody saying like, hey, why didn't you, you know, the postcard thing. If he hadn't tried to buy the postcard, he would have just assumed it was there.
Right.
Which is small, which is kind of bonkers. But I also agree with Kevin that, like, yeah, oh, I time slipped into a wall. What, you know, why didn't that happen? When nobody has that story.
Well, that must mean that, like, it's not physical, right? This is what you were saying that I couldn't grasp. Like, it's not physical. It's like in your brain. It can't be physical because of all that shit. I don't even think that the elevation is the same. Like, you would be walking along the road and then the road would be like up to your knees.
Yeah.
One thing I was thinking about too, and I know this is getting like deep into like the scientific side of this, but every day the air pressure is different. Not a single, like, I was reading through some, standing through some of this stuff. Nobody reported when time slipping, suddenly feeling like the breath being forced out of their mouth or something, which is what would happen, you know, unless you just happen
instant
to jump into
pressure
exactly,
change. My lungs exploded. Right. And,
right. Nobody reported feeling like their sinuses pop or anything, you know? And so I think it's either got to be something where you are not physically being transported, or that there's some kind of consciousness behind this that's stopping you from popping into a door. And also, like, you know, Wade was skeptical earlier that, you know, you just happen to time slip and meet Marie Antoinette. You know, that seems awfully convenient. maybe there's consciousness behind this that's making sure that you're leaping to somewhere that's survivable,
important,
and right. interesting, and maybe something that you have a tie to. Because like, one of the things I was, when I was just browsing before the call started, was that, like, you know, somebody, I think this is one of the ones in Liverpool, where he jumped to a place that, you know, there was a store that he didn't recognize that turned out to be a store that his mom worked at or something. You know, like, there's some pull that's bringing them to these things is also making sure they're not jumping into something that's going to kill them.
Do you ever think that, like, the reason that none of this shit happens to us, like, all the stuff that we talk about on the show, the reason none of it ever happens to us is because we're, like, perfect humans? And, like, we don't need to see the 1800s, like, they wouldn't give us anything. But for Carl Jung, it's like, oh, now I can build a new philosophy on the experience that I have. I hate to say that none of this exists because I haven't experienced it, but I just feel left out. Like, I would like to walk around in the Old West for like 5 minutes.
Well, I feel like if there is some consciousness behind this that's making it happen, you know, whether it's some being that we don't know about or aliens or some force that's causing this to happen, if it's ghosts or whatever, they're choosing to keep this sort of a secret and unprovable. And I think they know that if, like, one of us went back, we would bring back proof.
Yeah. Well, yeah. They're like, no podcasters, because then they're just going to talk about it.
But I think, like, my first instinct would be, if I realized I got taken back to the 1800s, would be to grab something I could, because if I was about to get sent home, you know, a newspaper that would not be aged from 1890 would completely upend physics, you know, or, you know, some pre-radiation testing steel. If I could grab some steel object that had been made that would prove what I was saying. Yeah.
And I would grab some, like, nice leather boots, you know, and I would sell them immediately.
We would grab something for sure. Yeah.
You guys have baseball players yet? I'm looking for some cards.
But I would say to this, Kevin, like, I don't know that you realize that you're there until it's too late. I think, like, maybe the second you it's like a dream. It's like when you realize you're in a dream and you wake up. It might be like that, where the second you're like, oh, shit, I'm in the Wild West. There's fucking Wild Bill. Ah, Billy the Kid. And then you're like, ah, shit. No, I'm back to video games and
President I don't know. I'm not trying to be like a downer on this idea, because I think this is fascinating. But I also keep getting reminded there's like this meme of, like, you know, charting the graph between sightings of certain phenomenon going down versus number of people carrying cameras in their pocket going up.
Yeah.
You know, like, now that we all have cameras in our pockets that can prove that something like this happened, suddenly a lot of these stories have just stopped happening. Because I think the first question everybody would say is, well, why didn't you pull your camera out?
Yeah, I love that, because I'm like, just the word paranormal, anything paranormal happening, I feel like could be some consciousness time slip. Where hey, you know, I fucking saw Bigfoot. It's like,
yeah, or
actually,
like
that was
like
from a thousand years ago, or whatever.
Or like a halfway slip. Like, people that see ghosts or whatever, maybe that's like a halfway slip, you know, and like that's why they look transparent, because you're like not all the way there yet or something.
These fluctuations of like what if it's just like something from the sun too, you know, like particles. You get blasted by some particle, and I don't know. I mean, like I said, it would happen more if.
Is there other examples that you have?
Oh, there's a ton. I do like the one Kevin was talking about with this. I'm just going to pull it out of memory instead of trying to find it real quick. Yeah, this person went back in time, didn't know it. They went into the store and this other store was there. And Crips, I think. Yeah, something like that.
I wanted shoes.
When he came back, he was talking about it.
Where's your shoes?
Actually, yeah, that, like, this store hasn't existed forever. But he's, you know, he was in it, didn't know about it. It's like, if you can... Here's the thing, like, yeah, if you can grab something physical, great. I mean, that's the thing you should do. But if you can grab something that you didn't know about, and you like this store name that actually existed there, this person like pulled it out of a hat, like, those are the more compelling ones to me, where it's like you brought back information that.
But that goes along with like a lot of the stuff that we talk about, which is like children having memories of like the past and stuff, like the past lives thing, right? It's kind of the same thing, only instead of a child and being born and like having these memories, you just like slip into something and then you remember that the store was called like Bernard's.
Yeah.
The thing that was interesting about that story, and that's why that one I remember before we even talked about time slips, is that it was two strangers saying it happened to them at the same time and they didn't know each other and they both backed up each other's story. That was the part that made that one stand out to me as like being the most compelling of any of them, because like it starts off with this, the guy that you're talking about is a police officer, and all of a sudden like he's walking down in Liverpool after they had converted the city center to being pedestrian only streets. So he's not even looking for vehicles coming down the streets. It's just pedestrians. And this old 1950s box truck nearly runs him over. And it has a logo on the side for a business he's never heard of before that turned out to be an out-of-business like furniture store or something. And he goes into this store that's not the store that he's expecting and bumps into this other woman that's wearing modern clothes where everybody else is wearing like 1950s clothes. And she's just as confused as he is. And then they both end up popping back into the future and back up each other's story completely.
Did they pop back at this? Were they together when they popped back?
Every reading I could find of this, they don't really talk about how they pop back. Which makes me kind of suspicious of this, you know, is that they don't really have a description of how they both ended up back in the present time. They just did. But yeah, they both said the same thing. They were walking around downtown and suddenly we're in the 50s.
They both just wanted shoes, and then they were in like a store that sold everything but shoes. And they're like, "Where's the shoes?"
Said that he tried to go in there to pay for something with a credit card, and they had no idea what the credit card was, and were just baffled by it. And that's when he really started to feel like things were like wrong.
Oh, that's interesting. What year was this? Do you remember? Like 98, just
like late 90s,
96. That's right.
I mean, it seems like he wouldn't. I've been in a lot of stores that don't accept credit cards. They don't look at me like I'm an idiot, though.
Yeah. I don't know. But, like, I'm thinking back, too, like, to, like, if it's 96, credit cards were not that kind. Like, you wouldn't go into a pharmacy to go pay for something with a credit card.
It was up there, though. It was getting there. Because my first bank account was around that time. And, like, I'm pretty sure it was up there. I just wonder what he was trying to buy, this guy, this cop. What was he trying to buy with the credit card?
It was a store that he had like a balance due at for something he was trying to pay for and was just completely baffled. But like, I feel like if I walked into what I thought was like a Walgreens and instead it was an auto parts store, I wouldn't go to try to pay off or to go pay. No,
that's kind of what I was asking. It's like, you're just walking up to these people. I'd be like, oh, I must be in the wrong place. This doesn't look like a Department of Water and Power.
Well, and also, like, if I were to design a time slip story now, you know, it wouldn't have as many questions.
Oh, I think the questions are the most interesting part, though.
Just saying, like, if somebody came up with this, even if in the 90s, it's very, you could have came up with this story. Oh,
well, yeah. I mean, if you want to talk about, like, fucking around and making shit up. Yeah, it's a little weird to be like, I tried to pay with a credit card, like. I don't know that I would do that.
The thing that stuck out to me, and again, I don't mean to be a downer on this, but all of these time slip stories were all conveniently interesting. So, like, you're meeting Marie Antoinette. You tried to pay with this newfangled credit card and baffled these yokels who didn't understand what it was.
Yeah, this is a credit card ad. They just manipulated the story to. Well, everyone's got a credit card.
What do you mean, credits? It's the wave of the future.
They all just felt like deleted Back to the Future scenes, kind of. But that doesn't mean it's not true, though. You know, like, again, like, if we go back to, like, my hoping that this is how this makes sense, is if there's a consciousness behind it, maybe that's why these interesting things are happening. Your dead grandma's sending you on this thing that's going to make you realize to be you should be a better person or something.
Yeah, yeah, share more.
Right. You know,
Well, in the realm of trying to time travel within your own conscious existence, I've heard of things of just like, you know, whatever bothers you the most, you can mentally go back in time and just convince yourself
you could do that without time travel, man. I rewrite shit in my past all the time and make me feel better about it. I'm like, oh, I should have said that. Well, now I'll just remember that I did say that. And it doesn't hurt anyone. It just makes me feel better. it doesn't really apply to this, but I don't know. How prevalent is this, I guess? Because, like, what are we talking? Are we talking, like, on the scale of, like, seeing UFOs or, like, below or, like, you know what I mean? Like, how many examples of this are there? You said there was a bunch.
Yeah, there's a bunch of small ones. And like I said, I imagine there's a bunch more where people didn't actually realize that this is what was happening.
Or didn't like report it because it was boring, you know?
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, I mean, just for the fact that Carl Jung has one, I think that's pretty fascinating. Here,
I know,
let me read this one real quick. This is Chile, 1977. Jenny Randles recounts a very different military training exercise from Kersey, occurring in Chile on April 24th, 1977. A small unit of soldiers is on a training exercise that night. They camp on a plateau at Pampa Luscuma, 12,000 feet above sea level. Their commander is Corporal Armando Valdez. Just before 4 a.m., a soldier named Rosales sees something strange. He calls Valdez. Coming toward them down the mountains are two violet lights. The ground underneath is glowing oddly. Perhaps these are flares, a mock attack. Valdez wakes the others. At 4:15, he goes to investigate what is now a large glow on the hillside. A few hundred yards away, the soldiers crouch behind a wall, cover him. Valdez disappears. So 2 moments later does the violet glow. The soldiers wait in silence. Then at 4:30, he reappears behind them. He's not well. He seems to be sleepwalking. He presently collapses on the ground. At dawn, things get rather interesting. The soldiers who had seen Valdez shaved the previous night, I don't know what that means, find that he has several days' growth of beard. Oh, okay. And they find that his watch stopped at 4:30. It also has a date function, and it reads April 30th. So he had very severe memory loss and poor coordination, something which is reported time and time again, but by people who have had similar experiences. They cannot so much as open a door. This sometimes lasts for days. Randles adds that the CIA agents who interviewed Valdez found him convincing and consistent. Some versions of this case infer that Valdez encountered a UFO. Anyways, I only wanted to read this because, yeah, this feels like a UFO abduction story where it's just like, well, they tried to put him back in the same place and it's not always the same. But also, if this is some kind of time slip, if people witness him disappearing, it's just like, how credible is the story? You know, the story's filled with names. Finding that information and backing it up is one thing. And then, like, how credible is the story? Could somebody have written this? I don't know. I'm just going, like, this sounds more like a UFO story, but I like bringing up the another paranormal.
Like, so yeah. People witnessed him disappearing, or
yeah.
So they were in the time that he slipped too.
They watched him disappear. Then he showed up behind him minutes later. It was acting weird.
And his beard was longer.
Yeah.
And his watch was off. Kevin, what were you going
to
say?
I was just going to ask, Willie, like, when you read stories like this, is your default to just take these at face value? Or are you going into this going, where's the proof? Or where do you lie? When you just read that for the first time, what's your impression?
This one was troublesome because, like I said, there's too many names brought up, and then they bring up that CIA agents interviewed them, and it sounds very similar to UFO story. I'm going, like, I mean, this is why I started with Carl Jung. I'm like, his story is recorded, and though it's not that significant, you know, those things did exist at one time. So that one to me has got, like, elements of, you know, you have a credible person with things that did exist before he got there. And so I love that. Most of the other ones, I'm going, like, these are, I feel like they're all fake.
I feel like if you were to study this or something and to really get into it, you would figure out the time period of where they slipped to, and then take all of the examples of it and be like, oh, they went to here and here and here and here, and then figured out if that meant anything, you know, like, why did you go to this point, why did you go to this point, or is it random, you know, like, why did Carl Jung just go to some church that got rid of its frescoes or whatever? Is it enlightening in some way, is what I mean, is like, to go back into the past, if there's a purpose to this and it's not a glitch and it's not random, what was Carl Jung supposed to learn or not learn or weaponize for some reason?
I don't like putting purpose into anything, you know.
No, I know you don't, but I'm just saying, like, if you were to study this, wouldn't that be the first part that you looked at? Just like, where are they going and why is that important? Because it feels like the most important thing to me. just like, why is this time period where you went?
Were there any that were like people time jumping back to somewhere within their own lifespan and met themselves or anything like that? That would answer a lot of how this worked if that was possible.
Not that I read. And this is just a side story. I tried to induce, say, I was thinking about deja vu one day. I'm like, I tried to induce one.
Dude, I had deja vu during this episode because I'm sick right now. I just got over a cold. I went to the bathroom earlier to get toilet paper to wipe my nose. And I swear to God, I had experienced that before. I don't remember what you guys were talking about. You know, you all know deja vu where it's just like, it's familiar. I feel like this is a thing. Sorry.
Yeah.
Go on, Willie.
I was eating breakfast going like, well, what if I tried to focus on this moment right now to try to connect to a future version of myself? Can I make a connection by forcing it? As I was doing that, I had one and I felt like it did make the loop where I was like, oh shit, I forced myself to connect to myself a few minutes ago and I had one. There was no new information or anything. I just had that feeling. And it just made me go like, yeah, like, can you pick certain moments and focus on this moment so that later on you can connect to this moment? Can you somehow make some sort of like bullet points in your life of something that you like take charge of it instead of it just being random? I don't know. Because I think most of this, if any of it is real, I think it is just completely random. And you're just not ready to be an observer of something crazy because half of these people don't know it's crazy till after it happened. What? Tell me again. What? You know, so I like the cop because you have someone who's like trying to be as a profession, a good witness. And you have Carl Jung. There's like three stories that are my favorite. It's those two. And then this other one, I couldn't find it this time, but you know, this guy actually found somebody who had like old money and old business card on them. They got hit by a train. And everything that they had in their pockets was like from like 100 years ago.
Oh, like in present day, like he's just walking down the railroad tracks and there's a dead body and he had all old shit.
Yeah. And then they looked up this person's name and they found somebody from 100 years ago and they found that person's family. And they're like, yeah, he just disappeared. Our great grandpa just disappeared one day. Nobody could find him. And like, oh, he's.
Well, yeah, he suicided by train.
Do you think this is connected in any way to out of place artifacts, you know, like the spark plug in the middle of a rock?
That's interesting.
And stuff like that.
If it goes both ways, yeah, the hammer, go on.
Can objects do this too, not just people?
If there's any truth to this, yeah, it should be possible. Yeah, because like one of the best ones is that hammer that's stuck in like a fossil.
Well, I want to hear more about the spark plug. I haven't heard about this. There's a spark plug that's trapped in a rock.
It's called the Koso artifact, where it's a 1920s spark plug that was embedded in some limestone that some guy was like digging out from his basement, like he was excavating part of it and found a rock that had a spark plug just sticking out of the side of it that he thought could not possibly have, you know, happened. Some geologists are like, no, there's some processes that will very quickly produce sedimentary rock, you know, and that's completely explainable. But there are a lot of people who are like, no, this is not that kind of rock. And, you know, how did a spark plug end up embedded in a 100-million-year-old piece of stone?
So that fucks everything up. Like if time slips, then archaeology is done, right? We can't trust anything anymore. Right. I mean, the whole like wine being nuclearized or whatever. What's the thing with the wine where after the atomic bomb, that's how you date them?
Yeah. The wine, steel, there's a bunch of different things where you can, we've permanently altered the radioactive makeup.
Yeah.
Of
and
the
so,
Earth,
and
you
so
know.
You can, it's like carbon dating only nuclear or whatever.
Right.
But that fucks everything
things-
up.
Two were like, I'm just reading here, there's a clay-fired doll that was found in Idaho while they were drilling a well. And the rock that it's in is 2 million years old, but the figurine they think is from the 18th century. And so, you know, the people are really split down the middle whether this is a hoax or this is something completely unexplainable.
Can you melt rock? What happens if you get a hot enough fire? Can you melt rock?
It depends on what it's made of, but pretty much most anything will liquefy eventually. Just the problem is once you've got it to whatever bajillion degrees that is, you're not sticking a clay figure inside of it and letting it yeah. cool back down.
Yes, I am. I'm a little stinker. I'll make sure that the future is confused by me.
Okay, that's okay. Other than
what I don't know, I mean, yeah, but that's a lot of work to just like make the future fucking feel weird.
Yeah,
I'm glad you brought this up because to me, that these examples almost help make this more credible. Where it's like,
that's why, yeah, go on.
If something can go, if people can go one way, why can't stuff? And what stuff do we have that has done them? Well, here's a few things.
I don't know because, God damn it. I just like, because there is some contention about like the history. Well, some, there's a lot of contention about like the history of the world, right? And like how old things are. And a lot of people do not believe that the scientists are right. I'm mostly talking about like homeschool Christians who think that like dinosaurs are fake because the world's only 2,000 years old and there's nothing older than 2,000 years. I don't know what my point is other than like to fuck with the carbon dating of shit or whatever metric you want to use. Like what's the point? I'm trying to bring it back to time slips. I've lost my way. Someone bail me out here.
Well, it's kind of just specifically against one group, and I'm going like, well, yeah, I mean, like,
I know, I didn't want to do that, but
yeah, sort of on the same tangent is the Shroud of Turin. You know, I mean, that's pretty famous of like, is that a hoax or not? You know, when it was created, or you know, not was created, when it was discovered, let's say. There was no such thing as radiocarbon dating. You know, you could not have known to have tried to fake that at the time because nobody knew what that was. I think if it was discovered today, the first thing people would have done was radiocarbon dating and gone, okay, that's obviously not 2,000 years old. And, you know, we have technology too, like microscopes that were not available back when it was first discovered to be able to go, you know, that's a modern fabric, not a 2,000 year old fabric. And I think you're onto something though in that, you know, what steps would people go through to fake something like this versus when it was happening?
And for what purpose, really?
I think that the Shroud of Turin is probably, you know, what was it, 18th century? It was
almost I've got 13th to 14th century.
That's when it was probably produced. But then it was popularized, though, in like early 19th century, I think. I think it's probably a tourist attraction. Somebody found this old cloth and went, hey, that kind of looks like Jesus. Let's say that it is, because that's going to bring a lot of people to come visit and spend money and, you know, that kind of thing. Even if it's not that cynical, it could be good-hearted, good-natured in that, you know, it's, hey, I'm going to use this to bring people here to hear my good message or something like that. So I know we're getting way off of time slips, but
the earliest date that I can find is 1983. Does that make sense? That's when the ownership of the Shroud passed from the House of Savoy to the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
And it was in 1983.
Wow. They got it.
They fucking got it, man.
Yeah. The first mention of the Shroud in historical records was 1357.
I'm not even up on that. It's like it doesn't work, right? Science wise.
Yeah, I mean, it could not possibly have been, you know, the death shroud of Jesus because the cloth, at least if radiocarbon dating works, it could not have been older than the 1300s. You know, it's definitely a very old piece of cloth, but if you believe
Once you get into like 1300 years, are they that precise at dating shit?
If you're sure the source, like the biggest problem, I'm sorry to cut you off, Kevin, the biggest problem with carbon dating stones is that you need to have organic matter. And so like when people try to carbon date the pyramids, it's like, well, there's no lichen or anything on this part. So it just can't be as accurate as they want because there's no living matter. Sorry, go on. Right. What were you going to say?
Yeah. Right. Well, the thing with it too, is that basically it sets a pretty accurate, could not be older than date, but it could be newer than that if you were using old materials, you know?
Right. And the oldest it could be is like 1300s.
Right. So assuming that's correct, I don't think it could be what it's
Does that mean that Jesus came back in the 1300s and we all missed it?
That's what the church has been hiding from us all, is that it wasn't 2,000 years ago.
He came. We're he done.
Already came back.
Our yeah. whole thing is crumbling. We didn't get what's it called when Kirk Cameron goes up to heaven?
Oh, yeah. The rapture.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. We didn't get raptured. So that's all fucking out of the window. I don't know. Let's just say that it's wow. old.
What a great movie that Jesus came back and died and they have to cover that up.
Yeah. No one noticed. It's done.
And it's Kirk Cameron. None of,
and it's Kirk Cameron doing it. Well, Willie, we do need to wrap up. Any final kind of like thoughts on this?
Yeah, there's a few. I'm always looking out for them. There's a few stories to me that stand out, and what any story needs is, you know, some sort of credible person in some way, details that like are unique to, but like real. And I love adding the out of place artifacts to time slips, because ultimately it could be the same thing, but
yeah, it's kind of fun. It feels like a Sliders episode, you know, where they bring something and then like fuck everything up.
And I'm not trying to make everything that I think is real, but I love just having things that aren't concrete. I like the idea of like making anybody reevaluate what they believe in. Mostly to
open your mind. Have an open mind and think about that. I mean, that's the whole point of this, right? Like, I don't believe that you believe any of this shit, but it's fun to talk about. Kevin, I know you don't believe in time slips. Do you want to plug anything? Or we got Shrob Home Video, which we're currently on.
Yeah, so this sort of meta, watch us on shrobhomevideo.com if that's not where you're watching us right now.
Right.
Yeah, come by every Sunday and see some live shows. And, you know, I want to believe. I really do. That's why I'm into this stuff.
It's fun. I want to believe, too. I just, like, am unconvinced. Time slips? I don't know. This is the first time I've ever heard of them. It's pretty interesting.
We need more. So can you force... Yeah. Can you force evidence? Can you like find if you're out
like
there?
Like the way that you did with your deja vu breakfast story, can you force your way into
some other time period? Stephen Greer's going like, hey, we can talk to aliens, like do it yourself before the government does. I'm like, that's cool.
Last question before we stop. No one's ever time slipped into the future.
You know, Manhattan Project is that is a time slip into the future, but it was.
Okay. Yeah. And that Kevin was people into or no Philadelphia Experiment was
yeah people that was into, people in the walls
yeah
and I will say in that same version too I mean in that story they talked about the future being run by a computer basically and
yeah but I mean you can see that coming you can, yeah yeah I mean that's just like prognostic it's not even it's just for. This is foreshadowing.
Every sci-fi story already had all these elements, yes.
These guys were writing great sci-fi in like the 30s. They had no idea what we were doing. All right. Well, thank you everyone for listening. Kevin, thank you for being here. Are you going to stick around and do the bonus with us?
Sure. Happy to.
Ooh, baby. We're going to get real on that. And here's the thing. If you're a Patreon, I'm not going to smoke weed this time. Or I might, but maybe I'll keep my thoughts to myself. People can't follow me when I'm high, and I feel like that's because you're just not following my thoughts. And if you just follow the thoughts,
I know it's really hard to be in a three-person conversation while your mind is having another one. Also, I mean,
that's exactly it. See you guys next time. Patreon.com/real life sci-fi. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. And we'll see you next time. Remember, just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not after you. Boom.
Bye.